desire for worship as it comes to you from an annual Lutheran church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this first Sunday of Advent, our hymns are 331, 343, 953, 341, and 349. Pastor Mark Neville's sermon is What It Will Be Like When Jesus Comes, taken from Isaiah 2, 5. Ron Baker is the console of the organ. Welcome. Lord bless our worship this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Christian Worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and a happy new year. It is the beginning of the new Christian church year today with the first Sunday of Advent. Our opening hymn this new Christian church year in the season of Advent is hymn 331, The Advent of Our King. We will stand for the last stanza. Divine Service 5, it begins first on page 213 in our hymnals, but we'll follow the form that is in our worship folder. We join in confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together in speaking responsibly the intro, and is printed in our worship folder. Behold, your King is coming to you. Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. That by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this first Sunday in Advent is recorded in the second chapter of the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We speak responsibly the gradual. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem.
Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the singing of the hymn of the day, hymn 343, Prepare the Royal Highway, hymn 343. Stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage
to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. We remain standing as we sing our creedal hymn. It is hymn 953, "We All Believe in One True God," hymn 953. Mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, from our risen and returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our sermon meditation is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 2. Have you ever tried to explain something wonderful to someone who has experienced only what is good? Have you ever tried to describe what is special to someone who is used to living only with what is ordinary? Have you ever tried to portray the season of Christmas to someone who does not know about this holy time of the year? Could you put into words the decorations of the trees, the ringing of the bells, the lights on the houses, the message of the music, the joy of the worship? Though we have grown up with the sights and sounds of Christmas every December, I imagine that we would find it tough to put all of this into words. So we can sympathize with what the prophet Isaiah does in our text. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he describes what it will be like when the Savior comes. A time when people all over the world will worship God as he reveals himself to us through the life of his own eternal Son, Jesus the Christ. That time is now for us. For Jesus has come as our Savior, but the time is yet to come for the world, because Jesus is coming again. The last days indeed are coming. God has set a limit to the existence of this rebellious world and the sinful people living in it. God has fixed the time when the Son of God, Jesus, will appear visibly before all the people to whom he has given life. Yet God's presence already has been established in the world that he created by the life-giving power of his word. At the time of Isaiah, God was present at his temple in Jerusalem, the place where his people sacrificed and received the forgiveness of their sins. Centuries later, God's presence took on human flesh in the birth and the life of his own eternal Son, Jesus of Nazareth. In our day, God's presence now is among us in the life-giving gifts that Jesus has given to us, his word of the Holy Bible, holy baptism, and this Lord's Supper. God's presence draws people to himself. In our text, the image is that of people who are flowing uphill in order to be in God's presence. These are people from all nations. And there are no distinctions, there are no limits on the people whom God welcomes to himself. And that's a great thing. For God welcomes even common, ordinary people like us onto the mountain of his presence, what we know of as the Holy Christian Church on earth. We do not come to God by our own power. Instead, God draws us to himself by his saving word of the gospel. That word is, first of all, Jesus Christ, the Son of God born into our human flesh as that baby of Bethlehem. He was born to die. He died to rise. That word, then, is also the Holy Bible, God's special revelation, his story of our salvation in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Our triune God has drawn us to himself through the working of the Holy Spirit, as he is active in God's word and his sacraments, the means of God's saving grace. The Holy Spirit moves us then to see Jesus as the King of Kings. The Holy Spirit moves us to trust Jesus as our Savior from sin. And the Holy Spirit moves us to confess Jesus as the Lord of our lives. Through his word of the Holy Bible, God teaches us his ways, how we can live this life pleasing to him in all that we say and do. Our baptized lives are to love and serve God first. And then secondly, we are to love and serve all those around us who are touched by our lives. As we live such a life in the name of Jesus Christ, our path is one that leads us through this world and into his eternal salvation. But as we all know, this is not a smooth journey. In this rebellious world, there are ruts, there are potholes on the path of our Christian living. Our own natural sinfulness hurts our relationships with others. We tend to judge others' actions without examining our own works. We let our human opinions determine our deeds. But God's lordship of us means that his word, the Bible, is our only guide for life. When we, the people of God in Jesus Christ, place ourselves then under the authority of the Bible, we do live at peace. Peace with him, peace with one another. Yes, there will be peace in our time. In 1938, returning from meetings with the German Chancellor Adolf Hitler, the British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain declared infamously, "There will be peace in our time." And World War II began the very next year. Well, in our text, Isaiah speaks of peace in our time. That's really hard for us to imagine, because the news always seems to be full of hatred and violence. Our sinful world does not and will not ever know this peace which the prophet Isaiah describes, for it is a peace that only the holy God can give us. And he does so by removing from us that sin and that selfishness which separate us from him and from each other. God took away that sin by Jesus on the cross, because his death paid for and canceled the debt of our sin in the sight of God. Living at peace with God also is described in this passage as walking in the light of the Lord. In our epistle reading today, Paul tells the Roman Christians then and us today that we are to wake up because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So we are to put aside our natural deeds of darkness and instead put on and wear the armor of light. We are to clothe ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in God's light as we hear and read and study the Bible. We walk in God's light as we remember our holy baptism. We walk in God's light as we receive the body and the blood of Jesus present for us here in the Lord's Supper. Through these means of God's grace, the Holy Spirit guides us on the path of life to the light that is ahead of us and the light that is shining upon us, the light which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we describe Christmas to others? It is peace on earth. It is peace in our lives. It is the peace that we have with our Almighty God through his Son Jesus. Christmas also is all about light. Not the lights on our houses or on the trees inside those houses, but the light of his eternal salvation by which Jesus guides our lives now. Our God comes to us in his Son Jesus. In Jesus, God's word of our forgiveness then goes out into all the world. And through Jesus, our triune God draws us to himself and places us upon his path of life eternal. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. And now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the singing of the offertory as it is printed for us in our worship folder.
Thank you.
We continue our worship with the prayer of the church, remembering those listed for us in our worship folder. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We stand for the prayer of the church. Stir up your power, O Lord, to rescue us from the dangers of this dark world by the advent of your Son, that we may ever walk in his light and learn the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you have made us glad to enter into your presence, to hear the good news of our Savior, and to receive your gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies. Lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your path, that when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Guide and bless us as we seek the pastor whom you have chosen to be the under-shepherd of our Savior Jesus here at Emmanuel. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord of love, visit our homes and defend us from the temptation to walk in the works of darkness. Clothe us with the armor of light. Preserve those who spread the gospel of your Son Jesus into this rebellious world, including Reverend Peter and Christy, Reverend Jim and Claudia, and from Lutheran Bible translators Reverend David and Valerie, and all who work with people of the book Lutheran Outreach. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, you are the authority to whom all temporal authorities must bow. Give wisdom and godly insight to our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, or judge our laws. Grant peace among the nations, that swords may be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Maintain peace among us, guiding and protecting those who make and enforce our laws, and defend our freedom, remembering especially the families of the National Guard soldiers who were shot in Washington, D.C., as well as our own McKenna and Drake as they serve in our nation's military. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, you have given us your Son to bear the burdens of our sin and to grant us healing and hope. Hear us on behalf of those in great need, those afflicted with physical and mental ills, those whose hearts are touched by grief, and those in their last days on earth. Especially do we remember Phyllis, Stanley, Evelyn, Nolan, Henry, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Marion, Diane, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary, Brooke, Archie and Terry in their grief, Elliot, Jason, Bryce, Bill, and all those whom we name in the silence of our own hearts. We pray for those who are not able to be with us in person, but whose lives are in our hearts, including Millie, Randy, Dolores, Dorothy, and Carol. We ask that in their need, you would be their strength and their peace. Lord, in your mercy, everlasting God, your Son has given us a place at his table where we receive the food of his own flesh and blood given for the life of the world. Grant us faith to recognize his body in this bread and his blood in this cup and to receive this blessed communion with joy and thanksgiving. Unite your people that we may confess with one voice the truth of your word and live together in love and anticipation for that day when Christ shall return in triumph. Bring us with all the saints into your eternal presence and to the marriage feast of the Lamb without end. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank, bless, and praise you forever that you have sent your Son to reign over us poor sinners who for our trespasses deserve rightly to remain in bondage to sin and Satan. You have given us a righteous and humble King who through his death has saved us from sin and eternal death. We implore you, enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior and not be offended by his humble appearance or despised word, but believe in him and obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament as printed in our worship folder. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith,
And above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
this true body and true blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Go now in God's peace. Amen. We stand as we sing our post-communion canticle as printed in our worship folder. Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated as we sing our closing hymn, hymn 349, Hark the Glad Sound. Hymn 349.